Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
It is a great day to be alive on this Tuesday. Kyle Bruston Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust. Once again, no Kyle Wallace, no Brad Northman. I'm stuck with the bottom of the roster.
That's not nice.
Alex Strofe next to me. Chris Larson is not the bottom of the roster. Upgrading the producer spot with Alex Strofe in this seat. So, I got that working for me.
What are we doing here?
Choosing violence.
Why?
Because I wanted to.
Okay.
I'm Ben Brust. He's Alex Strofe. UKBN Nation and ESPN Wisconsin. Get us on the Carbless Talking Text.
You should be happy somebody actually wants to show up to work with
800-990-3776. That is 800-990-3776. For those who couldn't hear as Alex Strofe was yelling. Liz is more with Carbless. And, of course, we're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. You good, Strofe?
You're a spoiled brat.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, you are. You're spoiled. You're spoiled by my presence. You're welcome for being here.
It's almost kind of reminiscent of what we're about to play, actually.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because Barry Alvarez joined the Barry Alvarez Show.
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too.
But you would also hope that Wallace and Northman join Kyle Wallace.
Kyle Bruston Northman, yeah.
Brad Northman, yeah.
That has not been the case, which, again, leaves me here with you. On 100.5 ESPN, you can hear the Barry Alvarez Show Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I always take the big, deep breath when I have to talk about the Badgers because it takes me to places I don't want to be. You know, it takes me back to Saturday. It takes me back to the good old days of having a football team in which, of course, there was no national championship. But there was a product on the field that made you cheer, made you happy, that made you never even think about booing. And let's play Barry Alvarez right off the rip here. We got to get to it.
Coach, what do you make of how fans have reacted here?
I think
so far?
It's embarrassing. I think it's terrible, despicable. They're spoiled rotten. Here's a team that you got young players trying to come on, they're competing, they're going to have a chance to get better, and you flip on them. They're early in the season, and you flip on them, and you're chanting for the coach. What do you think that makes? How do you think that makes the players feel?
Exactly. That's a great point, Coach.
That's disrespectful. It's not loyal. You're not a fan. If a person sitting next to me, boom, I tell them, get your ass out of here. We don't need you in here. You don't want to watch this? Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar. You know, that really upsets me.
That Barry Alvarez from the Barry Alvarez Show yesterday, 6-7 on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Alex Strofe, I'd like to start with you today on the Badgers and what you heard from Barry Alvarez. And I'd also love to hear from everyone on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And, of course, your reaction to Barry's comments on the Barry Alvarez Show at the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad. Barry Alvarez is a legend. There's absolutely no denying that. It's a thrill to have him on our airwaves. It's a thrill to listen to his perspective. But his perspective's misguided, misled, wrong here. This is the same individual that came to Madison, Wisconsin 30 plus years ago and said, buy your season tickets because they're not going to be around soon. And 30 years later, he's saying, give up your student tickets if you don't like the product on the field. He's saying, how do you think that makes the players feel? The players are making tens of thousands of dollars to do something. And you know what they haven't been doing?
Hundreds of thousands.
Something. They haven't done anything. We're losing by 24 points at home to Maryland and a true freshman quarterback. Luke Fickell was brought in as the guy. And again, I think we all agreed at the time in November of 22 that Fickell was hopefully going to be the answer for this Badgers program. And he just hasn't been. this team has completely fallen into a dark, dark place, a dark, dark hole of the bottom barrel of the Big Ten. And so this just makes me wonder if we're all watching the same thing. How do you think this makes the player feel? How do you think it makes the fans feel? The fans that are donating hundreds of thousands of dollars, the fans that are drinking the Potosi Varsity Ales, the fans that are buying season tickets, the fans that are paying to be there to watch the worst Wisconsin football product we've seen in decades. How do you think it makes them feel that they just know every game the rest of the year they don't have a chance? This was a team with the third longest streak in the country for making a bowl game. And now a bowl game is a fever dream. It's not a, if they win one game maybe that they probably shouldn't win, they're going to be bowl eligible. No, they have to win four games they probably shouldn't be bowl eligible. So, I respect everything Barry Alvarez has done and will continue to do. But I can't believe how off base he was on this last night on the Barry Alvarez show. It's ridiculous how off he is on this.
Here's, I wrote down a couple of things. When you say spoiled rotten, unfortunately, why the way fans reacted, it's not even I wouldn't even say unfortunately. The way the fans reacted the way that they did against Maryland because of the standard that Barry Alvarez set
exactly
back when he took the head coaching job, and how the program continued to grow and the different coaches that came in continued to win Big Ten championships, going to Rose Bowls, being a couple plays away from college football playoff appearances against Ohio State in Big Ten championship games. Big Ten championship games. That was not that long ago. And although Paul Christ and the direction the football program was going wasn't up to standard, Chris McIntosh and the university took a big swing that, like you mentioned, we all applauded. But when Barry Alvarez, who is the ultimate competitor, mentions the word competing, that the student athletes are competing, I mean, they're out there.
They're on the field.
Competing means you're putting forth an effort, and there's like...
I'll just say this. I find it hard to agree with the fact that the fans are spoiled rotten when we're talking about the same fans that sat through a first quarter 2 weeks ago against Middle Tennessee State where you were losing after the first quarter. I find it hard to agree with Barry Alvarez that fans that are witnessing Maryland, who is an awful football school traditionally and historically, awful football school, I find it hard to agree that the fans that are watching their team, who's been in many Rose Bowls in the last two decades, spoiled when they're watching Maryland beat them 27-3 on their home field. I find that hard to view as spoiled. That's the part I'm just having trouble with, and it pisses me off.
And you can't tell a fan how to be a fan.
No,
you can't.
Right. You can't. Nobody can. I can't. Barry can't. You can't. Nobody can.
Nobody. You're going to feel how you feel. And unfortunately, what you said is like it feels kind of like misguided, outdated. It's because it is. I'm still waiting. Like I said yesterday, I'm still waiting for someone to tell me why I should have hope. And I'm not feeling the message from the program. I'm not seeing it on the field. So, it's not like Barry saying this and 50-50. 50% of the people aren't like, you know, he's right. We got to support them because they are. It's rock bottom. When it's rock bottom, you're gonna get a reaction that we haven't felt and seen before. So part of this is new for a lot of people. It's not for people that were around for pre-Barry Alvarez, but this is new. And unfortunately, people don't want to feel this new, but there is no end in sight of this new feeling that we have. Knowing what the schedule is this year, knowing what the buyout is for Luke Fickell if you decide to move on from him, knowing that there are more teams in the Big Ten now, which makes it even more of a monumental task to start over. Everyone's got a leg up. Everyone has a leg up on a program that was something that you could look at and say, I know at least at bare minimum, we will not be embarrassed. But it goes back to the way that they lost to Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota.
Hmm?
That's what it goes. Last year, that was the okay, this is really bad. 42-10 against Iowa. 42-10 against Iowa. It was embarrassing. And then to have a home game where you're favored by 10 points against a freshman quarterback who is talented. When's the last time a freshman quarterback came into Camp Randall and did what the quarterback of Maryland did to the Badgers? Somebody find that. We're seeing new things we've never seen. And you're paying the head coach $8 million to put a product out there for people to enjoy. And it sucks.
Let me ask you.
I get where Barry is coming from, because I guarantee he's probably also just upset.
Yep.
But it's just not the truth. The truth is you can boo. What you support him? When are you going to clap? What was there to clap for? I'm serious. What was there to clap for? What do the Badgers do during the first half of Maryland, even the second half, outside of scoring late, to clap for? Yeah. What could you have cheered for?
I got to be honest. I wasn't paying attention during Jump Around. I just imagine it wasn't a very enthusiastic rendition of Jump Around by House of Pain at the end of the third quarter at Camp Randall. Let me ask you this, Manny. At this moment in time, okay, today is September 23rd, 2025. If I said to you right now, and I know your answer is always going to be, I am a Badger, so I'm a Badgers fan. But if I asked you right now, going forward in the near future, would you rather be a Wisconsin fan or a Maryland fan? Which fan base do you think you would have a better time rooting for?
This is, I hate
just
you.
Just do it.
No, I hate you for this.
But play the game.
I'm not playing this game. I can't.
It only goes downhill from here, so go ahead and answer.
Well, as a fan or as...
If you were not Ben Bruss, the Badgers legend, okay, I want you to answer this as person A, right? You get to choose your college football fandom going forward from this point. Wisconsin or Maryland?
I still, again, this is,
okay, Wisconsin.
I can't take myself out of it because I still have a belief.
Let me do this then, okay? I've got five schools in front of me. Maryland, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, and finally, Indiana. Those are all schools Wisconsin has traditionally been better than since Barry Alvarez showed up in the early 90s. Correct? You would agree with that?
I know for a fact, yes.
Maryland, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana. You would agree all five of their futures right now at this moment on September 23rd, 2025, in the near future, is better than Wisconsin's. Brighter than Wisconsin's.
I mean, I can make an argument against Maryland.
Okay, but the other four? Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana?
Unfortunately.
You can't make a case.
In the near future, yes.
Yeah.
In the next 2 to 3 years, yes.
So I don't know what other evidence the athletic department needs. And I don't know. I'm not advocating for anybody to lose their job, but something needs to change. And I don't know what that is. Right? I don't have the answers. I wish I did. But Luke Fickell clearly in the 3 years has not had the Kirk Cignetti effect in Indiana. And I know that's rare and kind of uncharted territory. But I watched college football this weekend. Did you see what Indiana did to Illinois, who was the number 9 team in the country this weekend?
Who will bounce back at some point.
I agree, and I think Illinois is a good team, and I think Brett Bielema, frankly, the former Badgers head coach, is a good college football head coach still in the year of our Lord 2025. But at the end of the day here, Benny, the fact is Wisconsin was promised something. Wisconsin fans were promised something when Luke Fickell was hired in 2022. A change, right? Elevating and evolving into the age of NIL and being relevant in the landscape of what was going to become a 12-team college football playoff. The fact of the matter is, the last 3 years, counting this year, and for the next 3 years, there's no shot Wisconsin's competing for a college football playoff unless a major change is made. Thus, what happened in Indiana. Indiana pulled the trigger 2 years ago on, at the time, the largest buyout in Big Ten history. When they fired their coach Allen. And then they hired Kurt Cignetti. And Kurt Cignetti did what, granted, a lot of teams in college football haven't been able to do. But he came in 1 year and they made the college football playoff. 1 year. It's doable. There is proof that it is doable. So the fact that
I want to talk about why, when I look at the program and I see Luke Fickell in year three, why I'm just so distraught. And why I know it's not, clearly not working, and why I want to believe, but I can't believe, right? This all comes from a place of wanting to believe, but I can't believe based off of X, Y, and Z. I want to get into that a little deeper.
Sure.
But Cheesehead Bucky in Madison chimed in last week. I don't know if you remember. He was very adamant on, you know, recruiting classes and Fickell, like, optimistic. And I'm not going to knock any fan on how they're going to be a fan. So I do want to hear what Cheesehead Bucky has to say here.
What's up, guys? Okay, first I want to apologize. I was wrong. Okay, I was just trying to keep the confidence level high.
No fault in that. I appreciate that.
I mean, I'm a diehard Badger fan, okay? I lived in Madison my whole life, born and raised. My first ever job was selling peanuts at Camp Randall. Like,
cool.
It's in, okay? So the problem I have, right, and I agree with you. I don't know. Fickell probably isn't the guy, right? But if we want to go to an Indiana is also spending $10-plus million a year on their football team, thanks to Mark Cuban, okay? They paid their quarterback that came in $1.6 million to be their quarterback, and he's looking phenomenal. So until this program, and granted, we get a new coach, that's going to help, or whatever. I don't know what the fix is. But this team also hasn't been ranked in the top 15 during the season since 2019.
Ah.
So this program has been broken.
Ah, I hated hearing that. I wanna continue on with some of your thoughts and get to a little more on why this hurts so much, like how we got here and why it sucks that you're heading into the biggest part of your schedule. And you brought up some examples of other teams: Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana. There are situations in which you can bring in a guy and turn this around, but there's one thing that Luke Fickell is lacking and why I don't have belief right now, and it would take a lot for me to change that belief. Until he's the coach, I can't give up, but I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for next.
This is Kyle Brosten-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Brust with Alex Stroh. You, KBN Nation, ESP Wisconsin, are at 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. And, of course, on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee and at ESP in Madison. Barry Alvarez spoke on the Barry Alvarez Show from 6 to 7 on 100.5 ESPN yesterday. Fans are spoiled rotten. How do you think the players feel?
Soft and soft.
Ultimately, when you're losing to Maryland, I just...
They were down 24 points in their home field in the fourth quarter.
What are they going to do? Cheer?
Woo! I'm having a blast!
Yeah, like it.
This is what I paid obscene amounts of money for. Be down 24 in the fourth quarter to Maryland. That's, yep, that's what we want. Okay, got it.
I think what I'm realizing the problem is, and it's something that everyone talks about in every, you know, sport. Culture, identity, like, what are you about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even yesterday, watching Dan Campbell's Lions again go for it on their own side of the 50 in a 7-point game. Like his players, incomplete or complete pass, they buy in. How can somebody buy? Like, what is the vision? If you can't sell fans, if you can't put a product on the field, how are you going to attract talent? And I know there's a paying component to this, but in order to go from where you are to where you want to be, if it's not Luke Fickell, whoever comes in next has to have something of a vision. Because when I think back to year one and you bring Luke Fickell in,
mm-hmm.
they had changed the way they were going to run the offense in what was the air raid, dairy raid, and it really wasn't even that on the field, if we're being honest. The defense changed, the way you used to 3-4, and like, so if you're going to make that change, and you're going to get all the excitement of, hey, we got a bat signal, Luke Fickell's Twitter's going off, who's going to be the Badger? They did the right things. They marketed this beautifully.
The launch. Remember the launch?
It was done beautifully. I'm not going to knock because everybody had excitement. But ultimately, when you see the play on the field and you look at the coach and you listen to the coach, can you identify and feel like you can trust that person? And if you're questioning that, how are people going to watch the Badgers and be like, you know, he's been here 3 years. I think that this is a place where I should go, right? And so my thing is, if he can't figure out a way to get people to see what his vision is and buy into the vision and create some sort of identity and culture, the vest ain't it. The team thing ain't it. And my overall point is, how are you supposed to go ask for money for players if it's from a donor, if it's from the athletic department, wherever the money funnels in from, right? How are you supposed to do that when you go, oh, wait, we're investing $8 million in this coach and he's asking me for something and I don't really like if you were a business owner and you went to an investor, a potential investor, and you were like, hey, this is what we've done in 3 years. You guys want to invest? Like, that's ultimately what I'm getting at is they paid him enough money over 3 years in an era where you don't have to wait for success. It's kind of out there right now. And that's where I said, like, kind of said I'm broken. And, like, until you tell me a reason that I should have hope, I'm not going to. Because I just don't feel as if there's enough from him as the leader of the team that they're going to be able to get pieces to turn this around. I want them to, but there's been nothing in 3 years with the amount that you're paying him to tell me that I should have confidence. He'd be laughed at if he went to people for money. He'd be like, wait, I'm supposed to give you money and this player may be good, but what are they going to do and how are they going to do it with how you're coaching, right? Like, nobody knows. What are they good at? What have they been good at?
They don't have an identity.
They have no culture. They don't have identity. And it sucks because when we talk about this, it just reminds you of how low it is right now. You're like, this is my body of work in 3 years.
Yeah, I have no signature.
You
want to
give
wins?
Us some money for this quarterback? That's great. I don't care if they had $10 million for a quarterback. No quarterback for $10 million.
Probably get hurt.
Not where I'm going, but I get your joke. But no $10 million quarterback would be like, yes.
It'd probably me up.
It'd probably take seven and go somewhere where they could win and make more endorsements. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's cause and effect to so many things in college sports now that I fear that this is just, like, so lost that there's no coming back from it during Luke Fickell.
Here's the thing that frustrates me maybe the most is, okay, if you want to take the angle, and few have. I think most people are just frustrated with this whole experiment and the lack of results you've seen over the course of 2+ years now. But look at other sports, and specifically look at men's basketball, right? Look at the other major profitable sport that Madison has, and that, of course, is their second most profitable sport is men's basketball. It's worked. They've gotten the transfers. And I know John Tonje was not the most highly touted transfer by any means, so I'm not even going to use him as the example. I'm going to use A.J. Storr as the example. A.J. Storr was paid a lot of money to come to Madison, and he chose Madison over other schools. And obviously, he left after 1 year, but that was a guy they were able to recruit to Madison and have success with. They made a tournament. They made a run in the Big Ten tournament. Greg Gard is a coach of old school, you know, come up, right? He didn't come up in the NIL. He didn't come up in the transfer portal eras. He came up in the, you stay for 4 years. You're not going to play much as a freshman. We're going to develop you and you're eventually going to become a star. Hey, Ben Bruss, good to see you. That is how Greg Gard started his career. But then this all came along and it took Greg Gard a minute, but he evolved and he figured it out and he learned how to work the transfer portal and the NIL and how to use those to his advantage to build a team that can compete for legitimate championships. And while Wisconsin in basketball may not have gotten to the second weekend, they've made runs in the Big Ten tournament. They've been towards the top of the Big Ten standing. Still, as the conference grows, evolves, and continues to pour more money into transfers and NIL, Wisconsin is still one of the powerhouses in Big Ten
basketball.
It's
a place where people want to go when they transfer.
Right.
Because of the identity that he's created. And he's shifted a whole identity of what has been built, despite it being a lot of the same concepts, but he's made it where they play faster and it attracts talent.
The thing that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me is 10 years ago, when it was Brett Bielema and then ultimately Paul Christ,
is Madison was a place recruits wanted to play. Madison was a place where recruits could go and visit and ultimately land in the decision of, I want to attend the University of Wisconsin-Madison because, A, it'd be great for my football career, but, B, I can win here. And now you've got these recruits on the sideline on Saturday against Maryland, who, again, I bring up historically is not a good football school, and they're watching Wisconsin drown to the Terrapins. They were down 27-3 in the fourth quarter. They were down 24 points on their home field to a freshman quarterback. What are those recruits thinking, Ben? They think, you think they're sitting there going, "Who? I got a lot of opportunity because those guys on the field aren't very good." No, they're thinking, "Eh, I'm going to go somewhere else. This isn't for me. This program doesn't have a path to winning in the next few years." Now, they might believe in Luke Fickell, because I think people in that building still do believe in Luke Fickell. I think some people do. I don't know that everybody does, but I do think some people still believe in Luke Fickell. But recruits, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, guys that could maybe come and contribute day one, if they're visiting Wisconsin and Madison, they might go, "Huh, pretty cool State Street. Pretty cool. Restaurants, yeah, it seems like a fun city. A football program on the other hand, yeah, I'll walk through this little arch, that'll be cool. But once we get on the field, we're going to lose by 24 to Maryland. No thanks, I'm good. I'm going to go somewhere else. Why don't I go check out Ohio State or Michigan or Illinois? Because Illinois knows how to win down south. Oh, we'll just go east. We'll go to Indiana. They were in the college football playoff last year, a basketball school. Nobody was going to want to come to play here. It's truly rock bottom. And that's I know I was very upset about the Packers yesterday. All of my anger has been transitioned to the Badgers. Because after hearing Barry Alvarez, again, who is a legend, and I guess if anybody in the world can have the opinion he had, it's going to be him. But this isn't getting any better anytime soon. I don't see the sun on the horizon here. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't.
That's Alex Stroh. I'm Ben Bruss. Chris Larson's running the show. Getting your texts at 800-990-3776 on the Carbless Talking text line. See you on YouTube. Reading through them all. Are you over it?
In what capacity?
Sunday's game.
Oh, the Packers? Yeah, I think so. But
That's a no. He just did the "I think so."
Let me think about it.
Let me ask this, because I need a break from sadness.
Sure.
Because I would say this is more frustration, because you have when you say the Packers, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because of the roster, because of the lack of execution, because of blowing the 10-0 lead with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. It's a different type of feeling.
Yeah, they're still a good team.
There's like a hopeless feeling to the whole last 30 minutes that we had.
Defeated, yeah.
That, like, at least when we talk about, like, are you over it? If you're not, you'll be able to get over it because you have another opportunity with a team that has an elite defense and has pieces and like, has beaten the Detroit Lions, the Commanders, laid an egg, but have an opportunity on Sunday to let you know how they're going to bounce back because they have the opportunity to. Bouncing back against Michigan after the bye week for the Badgers on Big Noon kickoff? Yeah, don't really feel the same. So I want to know if you're over what happened Sunday with the Green Bay Packers against the Cleveland Browns. And if you're not over it, who's the first person you think of and why? 800-990-3776. We move on to the debacle. Are you over what happened on the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds on Sunday? Next, it's Kyle Bruss and Norman. Bruston Nortman with no Kyle and no Nortman. You got Ben Bruss alongside Alex Stroh. Chris Larson's running the show. UKB and Nation on the Carbless Talk and text line at 800-990-3776. Or, of course, seeing us on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. We'll head over to the Carbless Talk and text line. Larry's on the east side of Madison. Larry, welcome to Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Hey, welcome. Yeah, hope you guys are having a great day. Hey, you guys keep talking about the college athletic sports. It's no longer in football. It's a business.
Correct.
Sure.
And in business, if you have a great manager, a great leader, a great coach, you pay them for it. But if they don't meet minimal tasks or performance levels, then you have infractions. And the same goes to the athletes that are getting paid. There should be infractions for the level of no competitiveness or not meeting those minimal tasks, that performance levels that they need to meet. It's a business.
Well, thank you, Larry, on the east side. I get the overall point. When the money is given to the athletes, it's done on some different types of terms. But I think you can keep it higher up right now. I think you can keep it at the, if you're paying Luke Fickell $8 million a year, and that's how we got here because of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we got here because of performance. And ultimately, I think where he started was, if you have a great manager and a great leader, you know, you usually can drive success. And right now, that is absolutely in question based off where we are in year three. And the possibilities that you do have as a head coach to make your team better a lot quicker than you could, say, 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where it may take you having a culture, trying to keep some guys in the program that you think can help elevate that, be a part of that, get them to buy in, wait for a couple recruits to come in, get them to buy in, and then by year two, at the end of the year, you see that sort of take place on the field, and everyone starts to see that vision, and year three, boom, you go. Yeah. It's different now.
I agree. I think the thing that bothers everybody the most about the Luke Fickell era, and I don't know if we've explicitly said that. We've explicitly said a few times we haven't seen a signature win. But I don't remember like a super, I don't know, encouraging performance in a statement game right against a really good opponent. They didn't look good against Alabama the other week. Ohio State and Oregon last year, I don't think they really competed.
So,
the Oregon game, I guess, was a one possession game.
I was there, but again,
did you walk away from there going, okay, they're close? Like, I don't think we had that feeling.
I did, but then they played
Iowa,
Nebraska, and Minnesota. I forget which one was after at the time. It was later in the season, so probably Minnesota, around Thanksgiving. But I guess where I'd push back is the only thing that does hurt. There is some facts that they haven't been able to have a quarterback stay healthy.
That's true. But
quarterback healthy or not, what are they?
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't known what they are. And I understand that trying to change what you were from the last 2 years and bringing in Jeff Grimes and like trying to do something different was a smart move. But by that point, what we're seeing is it was too late to have people come to the program, and when you're trying to change something in the middle of a tenure when you didn't have success the first 2 years, how are you going to be able to get the talent to execute?
Let me run up the hypothetical by. Let's say they win one more game this year. Let's just say it's Washington. I think that's probably the easiest game left on their schedule. So they finish the season 3-9. You willing to give them one more year?
Strelf, it's not for me to decide. You know my answer, though.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. Because I guess if you wanted to start a list of excuses for Luke Fickell, you could probably do a pretty good job. Quarterback would be top of the list. He legitimately hasn't had a healthy starting quarterback any of
his
time.
What else is there?
The offensive coordinator hire was a bad one.
But that's on him.
But he fixed it. Now he thinks
he thinks he fixed it,
right? He brings in Jeff Grimes. He needs him to get time to get going. Jeff Grimes hasn't had a quarterback from an offensive standpoint. Defensively,
he's been fine.
He's
on 3rd-and-9 against Middle Tennessee State in the first half.
I forgot about
Enough
that.
Said. Charlie and Franklin, you're up on the state of the Badgers. Not the title of this show, but it is right now.
Hey, I just want to call. I've been a season ticket holder for a very long time. I had a sister that debacle last week, Saturday. And I think it's a twofold. I don't think Luke Fickell all of a sudden forgot how to coach. I think what happened was he pushed his trailer to a offensive coordinator that was a complete catastrophic failure. With that, we recruited offensive linemen for that scheme. Mm-hmm. I don't think our offensive line is anywhere where it needs to be. He hasn't been healthy. The quarterback situation has been a debacle. Last week, Saturday, we played with a third-string center. We played with a third-string left tackle all year because Kevin Hayward ripped his ACL and Barrett Nelson ripped his patella tendon. So we're playing with a redshirt freshman at left tackle. I'm not a Luke Fickell believer. I hope he can somehow find a way to fix what's going on up there, because if he's gone next year, this sets us back a long time.
Yep.
Not only will there be max exits with our current players, but you guys talked about it before. There were some big-time recruits up there this last weekend, and I don't know how the recruits go home and even remotely think about this is a place where they want to play. But also with that being said, we're the second least team out there that spent money on NIL. You know, you brought up Indiana. Indiana football spent $22 million on their roster. So, you know, I mean, if we're going to
compete. And Charlie, I do want to expand on that. I got to keep us rolling here. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, good call.
One thing to add, though. What did Indiana spend the year before? Right?
I don't know.
My overall point is there's going to be money to be spent.
When you're winning.
When you win football games and prove a concept.
Yeah, I think
and there's no proof of concept here.
You mentioned this earlier, right? I think people, when you go approach them and say, hey, can I have some money, sir? They're probably more prone to say yes if they know there's a return on their investment coming.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that's just natural living.
You're not a business guy, but you got that one covered.
Hey, thanks, man. I took a business class or two at the esteemed University of Stevens Point. I really liked that phone call. I thought that was what was the term we used yesterday? Level-headed anger. I think that's what that was from Charlie, and it, more disappointment maybe than anger. But I thought he made a lot of really good points. I don't know if Luke Fickell's here or not next year. I think he is through the end of the season. I don't know if he is next year. If he is, he's got a lot of things to figure out. But I would already throw this year in the trash. I think it's over.
You know who's a great leader?
Gina Della from Pella.
And Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, I can tell you from experience, because Gina leads a great team. Joe Franco came over to my house. The installation team came over to my house. And before they did anything, they walked me through it, made me feel comfortable. They helped me understand the entire process. Help me get 0% for 5 years, which you can do if you order by the end of the month. So get your consultation with Gina and their team. Pella has that professionalism. They have the product with all the warranties. You're working with the direct Pella manufacturer. And that is big because they can provide great financing, save you on home energy bills, upgrade the value of your home. It all works together with Gina and their team. I've experienced it, and I can tell you that if you haven't gotten a consultation, there is no harm in having them come out to see what they can do with you within your budget. And then they offer 0% for 5 years, 0% for 60 months for you to have all the benefits that Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin can provide. So check out PellaWI.com and book that consultation today. Now, are you over Sunday? Because I see a lot of stuff about both right now. I'm trying to manage frustrating football still on a Tuesday. Kyle Bruss Nortman with Alex Stroff and Ben Bruss continues next. You got me brainwashed, you got me
so lost, you got me all the Listen up! IKEA is turning 40. And today is your last day for something awesome as they're giving you presents. There's a gift card giveaway, and is your last chance. So if you're listening, get to IKEA Oak Creek or IKEA.us for more information, because they've been giving away gift cards anywhere from $5 to $500. 120 winners every day at every store. So you must be an IKEA family member to participate, which is free. One gift card per IKEA family membership during the promotion. And that promotion ends today. So get to IKEA in Oak Creek or any IKEA store if you're listening to me and you buy one. And you have a chance as a family member to walk away with anywhere from $5 to $500. Visit IKEA.us for more information. Ben Bruss, Alex Stroff, UKBN Nation, turning the page from what was a cranky Alex Stroff yesterday with a cranky Alex Stroff about the Badgers today to how about something lighter? It's funny, but it's not funny. I feel like I'm doing that a lot with our teams. It's like, I'm sad. I don't want to be sad, but I am sad. And
We're okay.
We all know the offensive line was abysmal against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a listen. Because Myles Garrett beat Rashid Walker, and I don't think Rashid Walker touched him on a nice little inside move. This is just great stuff.
Bro, I beat him on the cleanest inside last series.
Jordan! Jordan, run!
Yes.
I also, Chris, would love for you to find the play itself because you can hear
very faintly you can hear
that. Yeah. Rashid Walker go, Jordan, run! Jordan, run!
Yeah, I saw this last night. It's very funny. I mean, I don't know, man. When you get beat by Myles Garrett, what do? You're trying to protect your guy, and you can't catch him now. So what do you do?
Well, especially if
hey, man, run!
He didn't touch him. It's not like he gave him a half second, like you know, of a punch or like a little bit of a grab or anything.
I think he tried.
He tried and he whiffed, and I do the same thing. I'd be like, "Don't die,
Jordan! Please, we need you."
Like literally, like I did not do my job, so please, I want to keep my job. And if you get hurt, I won't have a job. So run,
Jordan! Run! Yeah.
Chris will work on pulling up to see if we can faintly hear Rashid Walker yell, Jordan, run. But unfortunately, that clip is a microcosm of literally the game.
Yeah, and I was listening to Matt LaFleur last night, just because I always find Matt LaFleur on Mondays after losses very...
ornery?
Yes, but also like kind of entertaining in a weird way, because as we learned together yesterday, well, not learned, but as we saw for the first time in 2025 together yesterday... I, on Mondays after Packers losses, also very ornery and cranky because they ruin my mood. It's just the number one team that affects my mood. So usually it's like a good cap on my day. At the end of the day, I'll go, okay, time to wind down. I'm going to watch Matt LaFleur now. And he talked about how he knew the Browns' defensive line was good, but he didn't realize just how good they were minus Myles Garrett. Yeah. But in fairness, I'm also not the head coach of a football team, an NFL football team, but I didn't either. I didn't realize how good this Carson Schwechter kid it was, who's, I think, the front runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year right now after that performance against the Packers. So their front seven, I mean, was just terrific against Green Bay. All in all, I said it at 4:08 p.m. yesterday. I believe this will serve as a good wake-up call for the Packers. I didn't want to admit that yesterday until 4:08 p.m., and that's when I did it. This loss is a good thing because, Ben.
Oh, here we go.
Because, Ben. You can't get the 14-3 without the three. And if one of those three is ugly, like Sunday was against a not-so-good football team, I don't think that makes you look at the Packers any less by week 18 as a Super Bowl contender, right? There were some clear things that went wrong.
I still don't look at them that much different. The biggest thing that is a little bit scary to me is, again, we can have a Jordan Love conversation, but my mind continues to go to Matt LaFleur as the leader of the team. And this the decision making of not being on the same page as the medical staff and Zach Tom, having the contingency plan to have Jordan Love play right tackle. Like there was just so many things that led to kind of a haywire game. And also what falls on the head coach is discipline.
Hmm?
How many penalties?
13.
13.
14, actually. One was declined on that field goal at the end of the game.
So it's 13. And so when you look at that, that's on the coach. The coach is the one that sets the tone and discipline and how they respond and what they do on the field and like play calling, especially getting as creative as you can, knowing that you're a little banged up and adjusting to, which again, I know it's near impossible when you don't have a good O-line finding ways to get open, but that's what you're paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still the Cleveland Browns, and it'll be interesting to see what happens because am I mistaken in thinking that the Detroit Lions play the Cleveland Browns this weekend?
You are not mistaken. That is correct.
I'm pretty sure they're favored by the exact same thing the Packers were.
Seven and a half,
8.5, anywhere around there.
I mean, after watching the Lions last night.
Yeah, but my point is the Green Bay Packers didn't find a way to run the football. And the Detroit Lions yesterday against the Ravens found a way to, again, dominate their opponent physically. And so I'm not saying that the Lions are better than the Packers or this or that. I'm just genuinely curious to see how Detroit does against the Browns from a rush standpoint to see how far away this offensive line is with all the injuries that they do have.
Yeah, and Detroit obviously took a hit on their offensive line. Their center retired in the offseason, a couple other changes for them. So you're right. It'll be a good quote-unquote measuring stick if you end up watching that Detroit-Cleveland game to see how different they are, or how differently they succeed against the same opponent in back-to-back weeks. But all in all, again, I'm not freaking out, right? I think Zach Tom will be back at some point. Aaron Banks hopefully can get healthy. I think Rashid Walker will play better. Elton Jenkins will play better. The offensive line is a concern coming out of that game, but I don't view them as the worst unit in football by any means. I still think they can beat good teams, they can beat bad teams, and they can beat good defenses.
What time did you listen to the Matt LaFleur press conference last night?
Late.
How late?
Maybe 11 o'clock.
You're a liar.
Why?
What time did you get home from the bar?
Later than that.
So you watched it
at the
bar?
Right. I guess you're right. What time did the Brewers game end? About midnight?
Late. I think it was like 12.
It was like 12:30 because I was here engineering
15,
it.
12:30.
Okay, so then now like 12:30.
What time did you originally say? 10:30.
I said 11, but yeah, you're right. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, probably 12:30 then.
You wind down listening to Matt LaFleur press conferences before bed.
I wind down by doing sports. Yeah, so
no,
sometimes
but like,
it's press
I feel like that would have made
it's...
me more angry, and I wouldn't have slept.
No. Okay. So look. I'm a really weird individual, and you and I have talked
just
about this
say,
many
you
times.
Went out with your friends, and...
I went out with one friend, and I mean, I didn't really get after it too hard. I think I had three beers, and I watched the game. I watched the end of the Monday night game. I watched the end of the
Alex
Brewers game.
Alex Stroph just said, I didn't really get after it. I had three beers.
I
would love
swear
to put it on the poll.
I could show you I think I have a receipt, actually.
You have an itemized?
I don't know if I have an itemized. Let me look.
Either way, I'd love a receipt.
I don't have it. I could show you how much it was, though. It was only,
Stroph
it was only
liar,
$19.
Stroph the fraud.
I'm not lying to you. I have a witness. I can text him.
We got to get to Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? I love that you're winding down to Matt LaFleur and lying about what time you're winding down to Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, you're right. I got to be honest. I forgot I went out last night. I don't know.
You had three beers and forgot. No, something's not added up here. It smells fishy. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
No, it was because it was mostly.
It's
most of the time
it's
when
time
I go,
for Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? I caught you in the lie. We're just
there's
gonna
no
stick
lie.
With, oh, he's getting mad. He's getting defensive. Gen Z energy. But I'm just kidding, buddy. Although you did lie. 800-990-3776. Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust is next. Stroph, do you have the details on? This of my record and whatnot.
Yeah. Give me 1 second, please.
I take it you'll be reading the questions today
you can take
next
that, yes.
to me.
Yes. Ben's record in 2025, 6-28-6.
Damn.
Ben's record as a married man, he is 0-2-1.
Damn. Not good either way. Gonna make my wife proud today.
Still haven't won as a married man.
Let's do that. Let's go caller number 7, just because I saw 7, I think.
It's my favorite number. I like
saw
that.
The Lions had 7 sacks, so the Ravens 0.
Yeah, that was dominant.
Let's go 800-990-3776. Yes, Stevie, that was a police interrogation by me. I want to make sure Alex Stroph is being held to a high standard here. Caller 7 for Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? 800-990-3776. See you in 2 minutes.